Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Just want to make an initial statement, and it's in response to Bill English's comments at the Australian-New Zealand Leadership Dialogue and again on television yesterday morning. I utterly refute the idea that having New Zealand wages a third lower than those in Australia is a good thing. It is not a good thing. It shows how far back New Zealand has fallen, and to promote having a low wage in this country as a good thing and an advantage shows you how far out of touch Bill English is. The fact of the matter is, ask any New Zealander on a low wage whether they think that it's a good thing that with rising costs of living they are paid so little, and you'll get the answer. This country's going backwards, not forwards, and to try to make an advantage out of how far we've slipped in regard to wages and employment with Australia is a disgrace.
How would you close the gap?
I think you close the gap through not aiming for low wages. You aim for a high skill, high wage, high tech economy. That's what Bill English should be talking about.
How would you do it?
What you don't do is cut research and development, which is what this government did as its first act in coming into government.
So how much would you increase research and development?
Well, the 15% tax credit on research and development would have had the expenditure on that area twice as high as it will be under this government. And it is about growing wages. It is about growing jobs. It is about the niches that can make New Zealand competitive and successful in the world. We can either be the best or the cheapest, but actually being the cheapest doesn't make sense, because cheap against Australia will never be cheap against wages in Asia. Therefore, we have to be the best. We have to be clever. We have to be innovative. And that's what Bill English and John Key should be focused on. They're ignoring that.
Your MP, Damien O'Connor, says your party organisation is dominated by self-serving unionists and a gaggle of gays. What's your response to that?
He's wrong, and it was an inappropriate comment for him to make.
What did you say to him about that?
I told him that, and he has apologised for making that comment to me.
Will this go to caucus tomorrow? Will he face some sort of sanction for these comments?
I think he'll be asked about why he made a comment in that way, and I expect him to repeat the apology that he's made to me to the caucus.
What do you think he said there?
Oh, look, I think that it was as a result of the disappointment that he felt, that he should have been higher placed on the list, and I think in terms of his qualities, he should have been, but that doesn't justify the nature of the comment he made, and he regrets making it in that way.
What's wrong with the comment?
It's not true. That's the first thing.
On the morning report this morning, he also said these are the people who have been sniping at your leadership.
He's wrong on that again. The fact of the matter is, the list is decided by a group of 36 people representing the whole cross-section of the party and at the grassroots level. The process is democratic. The decision was made. There are winners and there are people that are not winners in it. You expect them to be disappointed. You don't expect them to lash out
in
that way.
He told me yesterday that he didn't know what place he was going to get on the list, although he said he had a good indication of where it might be. Did he actually know?
Well, I don't think anybody knows in advance. It's a process of negotiation when you're in there.
Is it fair to say, though, it's not really done on merit? It's done on which part of the faction of the Labor Party you're in?
No, that's absolutely wrong. It is on merit. And I will stand by the top five and the top ten new candidates on the list that are not currently in Parliament. They are all people who are capable people who are there on their merits.
Pāti Kura Horomia, you said, was basically, on his way out. You said that down the corridor. He's number six.
I would say this about Pāti Kura, that he is our kaumātua. He has great respect in Māoridom. He is an important part of the Labour team going forward.
Is he your sixth best MP?
He is representative of the strong support that we get from Māoridom and the respect that he holds in Māoridom, and that's why he's there.
Isn't that the same as the question I put to you about factionalism?
No.
Because he's a senior Māoridom.
You asked me, and I took the question to be about the new members of Parliament that will come in as a result of their list positioning. And they are people, Andrew Little, Michael Wood, Deb Mahuta Coyle, and Kate Sutton and Jerome Mika, that are all talented people, that have all got something exceptional to offer the Labor Party. It's a young team, it's further rejuvenation. I think it's a very good list.
How do you think Damien O'Connor's comments would have gone down on the coast?
Well, you know, if your comment is wrong, you should not make it. Look, what the Coast is like about Damien is what you see is what you get. He's a bit rough around the edges, and that's fine, but it doesn't justify making a comment that is wrong and, in my view, inappropriate.
Was it offensive?
Sorry?
Was it offensive what he said?
It was just wrong. It wasn't decided by the two groups that he spelled out. It was decided by 36 people at the List Committee that represent the whole cross-section of the Labor Party and a cross-section of New Zealanders.
What does it say for the discipline? Being wrong, did you? Because otherwise you'd be apologising every day.
No, I thought his terminology was unfortunate and it was inaccurate. If he had something that he wanted to say, he's welcome to say that to his colleagues and to me. I don't think it was helpful that he termed his comments in that way. I don't think it was helpful that those comments were not accurate. And I don't think it's helpful that he expressed his frustration publicly rather than immediately to his colleagues.
You told the New Zealand Herald this morning that you thought the comments would go down pretty well and probably help.
What I said was that, you know, I'll repeat what I said, you know, what you see is what you get with Damien, and the Coasters like that about him. They like that he's rough around the edges, but that does not make those comments right. And I said yesterday in the interviews that they were not accurate, and I told him off for saying
it. But it'll probably help him out down on the Coast.
Not the specific comments as much as the, you know, that what you see is what you get with Damien. He speaks out independently. He's rough around the edges. The Coasters like that about him.
Couldn't have come at a worse time, though, could it? I mean, you're facing an election in 6 months.
Yeah, no, look, the comment was made. It was wrong and inappropriate. He's apologised for making it. We move on.
He also said, though, for the discipline of your caucus, though, every time you want to make progress on other issues, somebody comes along and shoots you in the foot.
It says that he should have shown more discipline.
Damien raises a valid point about the levels of provincial representation versus metropolitan within Labor?
Well, I've got to say this. The first two people that are the new people on the list are both standing or representing provincial areas. Andrew Little comes from New Plymouth, born and bred Taranaki boy. He's standing in that seat and he will represent that seat. With Deb Mahuta Coyle, she comes from Huntly. She's currently living in Wellington. She'll go back and represent that region in Parliament. So the top two newcomers on the list are both provincial, and the new president of the Labor Party, Moira Coatsworth, is also provincial. She comes from the Firth of Thames. That's pretty provincial, and she'll stand up and represent the interests of those people in our caucus and in our party.
Damien O'Connor said on Radio New Zealand this morning that this was about people positioning themselves for future leadership, and he was clearly aiming that target at Andrew Little, suggesting that he's trying to exert union influence to try and help himself over the line to take your job.
I think he's wrong.
Have you had an assurance from him that he's not trying to do that?
I don't need that assurance. He's wrong.
So is Damien O'Connor wrong on that as well?
He's wrong on that, yes.
Will he have to apologise for that as well?
Oh, he's made an apology for inappropriate use of language and saying things inappropriately in the way that he did, and that's good enough for me.
Is Damien O'Connor...
When did he apologise?
He apologised to me this afternoon.
Is Damien...
Well, this morning, actually.
Is Damien O'Connor wrong when he says that there's people sniping at your leadership from within Labor?
Well, we've had some people that have made comments that have remained anonymous in the public. That's never helpful. But I have the strong support of my caucus, and I'm going forward on that basis.
But there are people in that caucus sniping at your leadership.
No, I don't see evidence of that. I'm constantly quoted anonymous people that are saying that, but nobody ever brings any evidence up.
Damien O'Connor's lying.
I'm sorry.
Is Damien O'Connor lying?
No. I think he's mistaken.
Mr. Goff, our poll tonight shows only 30% of voters believe you're the best person to be leading the Labor Party. Not a good reflection on your leadership.
I don't take it as that at all. In opposition, the public, you'll have a big don't know quality, and that's been seen before, and it's seen in this poll. But clearly your poll shows that by a huge margin, I'm the person that most people think should be leading the Labor Party.
But by a huge margin, the don't knows.
Yeah, that's not unusual in opposition. When you're in government and you're Prime Minister, you're getting that profile. When you're in opposition, it's a different situation.
48% of Labor's own supporters aren't convinced you're the best person to be leading the party.
Well, a substantial number of people think that I am, and I'm going on. I'm doing a job that you know and everybody knows is the most difficult job in Parliament. I'm doing it because I believe in it, and I'm doing it because Labor has something to offer taking this country forward, and it's about the issues that we'll be running on, and we will win on those issues.
Do you think another sex scandal might help you?
I'm not looking for one, Guy.
Why?
Either for the caucus or for the press gallery.
It wasn't an offer. It was a suggestion.
Yeah. Why is Labour going cap and
rejected, but thank you for being so kind as to think of it.
Why is Labour going cap in hand to the public to fund its Stop Asset Sales campaign? Does Labour not have enough money in its own coffers to run that?
No, because the Labour Party is supported by rank and file people. We're not supported by some of the huge vested interests that the National Party is. We go out to represent all New Zealanders, and we're proud of that fact, and we'll raise our money through the public and in small amounts predominantly. The National Party will find a few big benefactors that will help them, because the National Party is putting money in their pockets because they support those sectoral interests.
Have you had any approaches?
Of course the union is a sectoral interest, but the amount of money that the union movement gives to the Labour Party is a percentage of our funding. It's not the predominant funding. Most of our money comes from ordinary Kiwis.
Have any of the gay MPs in the Labour caucus come to you and said, hey, this wasn't on, these comments by Damien O'Connor?
No, they haven't, but I don't think they'll be impressed by the comment, as I was not impressed.
What about the unionists? Have they come to you?
No, nor them, and I expect people in both categories and across the party not to have been impressed by the comments that were made. Damien recognises that. He's apologised to me for making them, and I'm satisfied with that apology.
So no member of your caucus has actually said anything to you about this?
Oh, I'm sure many will. I've been busy this morning.
Some of his critics have labelled him a homophobe for his comments about the gays. Is Damien O'Connor a homophobe?
No, I don't believe that.
Is he a redneck?
He's a hothead. I don't know about a redneck. I don't think so.
You talked about reversing the R&D categories and investing more in there. Do you have any idea how much more you'd invest in skills growth and jobs growth? On talking about it.
Yeah, if you want to grow the economy, you don't grow it by cutting back on skill training and investment in innovation and R&D. You do the opposite. Those things have got to be at the forefront of any economic policy. They're absent from this government's. If the best thing that the Minister of Finance can do is say it's a great thing that our wages are so low in New Zealand, well, he can go out and crusade on that. That's not my vision of New Zealand. We don't want to be a low-wage, poor country. We want to be a high-skill, high-tech, high-wage country, and that's what Labour's policy will be around.
Do you have a plan set down on paper how much more you'd invest in this, or is it just rhetoric at the moment?
No, it isn't rhetoric. It's actual policy. It's that we will invest more in R&D, we will invest more in skill training, and if you doubt that, look at our track record, because we put the investment in, we put our money where our mouth was.
So do you have any idea how much more you'd invest?
I'm not going into the details of that policy now. We haven't worked through the details of costings
so
at this point.
It's not a proper policy?
Of course it's a proper policy. It's a commitment in principle, and that's what you expect from an opposition party.
On wages, the CTU have taken issue with the Prime Minister's claim that after-tax average wage has risen 16%. But their analysis shows that, in their view, that it's gone up 9%. I mean, that's still not a bad effort, is it, in the last couple of years?
If you ask New Zealanders across the board, low and middle income earners, whether they're better off now than they were a few years ago, you'll get a very clear answer, and that answer is no. That's reflected in all sorts of statistics. It's reflected in a depressed retail market. It's reflected in more people who are working people actually struggling to the extent that they need help from food banks. Every New Zealander knows what the truth is. They're not going to accept spin from the Prime Minister, who doesn't look at the prices of the goods he buys when he goes to the supermarket. He probably doesn't even go to the supermarket. Otherwise, he would know that things like butter, cheese, lamb chops, vegetables are all up 10% on where they were a year ago. How can people be better off when they're paying that extra money? How can they be better off when rents are up $15 or $20 a week in Auckland? You know, people know for themselves how well they're doing, and the comments about the economic outlook and business confidence, I think, shows that most New Zealanders understand that New Zealand is going backwards, not forwards. I was in the supermarket on Friday, the New World supermarket opposite my electorate office. I go there every Friday. Barry, what about you?
I was there yesterday.
Good on you. We're on a par.
The CTU was saying from December 2008 to December last year, taking into account inflation, price increases that you've mentioned, after-tax wages have increased 9%.
I don't think that's true of a huge number of low and middle income earners. They are worse off, they are feeling worse off, and if you ask them, they'll tell you that. Okay,
thanks.
Thank you very much.